Blog Talk Radio.
And we are live, and we are back, people. Technical difficulties with what they may be. It is okay. We are here. We are live. Welcome to Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM, the soul in sports. And today, people, we talk the best. We talk the worst of the weekend. Meet Infinity Stones, people. $350 million. $1.4 billion worldwide Infinity Wars brought in. This movie came out and people forgot about the NFL draft. People forgot about the NBA playoffs. But tonight, we put them together. And join us all the way live from the DMV. We know his black ass better have some ID. Well, you know what's going to happen. What's going on, Wale?
What's going on, Mike? You know what I mean? You talked about they did that much in terms of Infinity Wars. They did that much. Like that much? Really?
$350 million
insane.
Worldwide.
Insane. It was a great movie, though.
I saw it twice.
Movie.
A movie's so good, you should see it twice.
Oh, I usually see movies once, but I am thinking about seeing it twice. I don't see movies twice. I just, you know, I'm already in it. I mean, I feel like, you know what, they got my money. Unless I sneak in or something like that. If I can sneak in a movie theater, then definitely I would see it twice. Easily.
See,
but
see,
I did
only
tell
in the barber shop.
I'm thinking about seeing it.
Well, a grown man,
I didn't tell somebody else.
Openly,
huh?
He's going to sneak into the movie to see it again.
You're darn right. You're darn right.
Oh,
I got no shame in my game.
It's okay. Listen, we came out of the first showing, and I went through it. You know, we didn't go take the 3 hour long time to go use the bathroom. So my wife's inside of one. I go get her out while we all use the bathroom. I'm like, yo, come on. She said, don't snap at me and turn me into the dust out of the movie. She said, I'm coming. But also, welcome to the program from the DM. From Hopewell, Virginia. His mama calls him Micah. You can find him on Twitter at ME Richmond on the Twitter. What's going on, Micah?
Oh, my brother, I may be many things. I may be fat. I may be short. But at the end of the day, like Thanos, I am inevitable because it's me. It's the guy known as M.E. And I may not be here for a long time, but I'm here for a good time. Thank you, Hillbilly Jim. And we're off. Let's go. Let's get into it. I don't need no Game of Thrones. I don't watch that crappy show anyway. Give me Endgame any day of the week and I'm good to go.
I don't watch
Game of Thrones. I just be trolling people.
Like,
but you know, Game of Thrones is okay.
I don't argue with people who don't watch something. I'm cool with that. I'm not going to debate a show that I'm going to watch
because that's asinine. I don't do that to people.
But I can't stand folks, and I'm finding them a lot this weekend with the Avengers Infinity War coming out. And I know sometimes you dabbing that too. Don't put down something you don't watch. It's okay to watch things that other people like and find entertainment in. I don't understand why. Well, I'm not. You know, not saying you said that, but the whole I don't watch Avengers.
There's people that do that.
I don't watch Game of Thrones.
There's people that do that, and they be sounding arrogant, like, oh, I don't watch superhero movies. Okay, you don't watch superhero movies. Get over yourself. I don't watch horror movies. You don't see me bashing you for watching It.
Right. Exactly. But that's the world that we live in. But the NFL draft, guys, happened on Thursday night, the same night Infinity Wars opened up. And now, not that I did not know, because we're sports guys. We knew the draft was there. But on the same, you know, the day before, my car breaks down, and all that's on my mind is, I hope I can make it to this movie. And I did, and I remember going to the movie. My son had a game the same day, and it was like, wow, I'm okay not if I missed the draft. And I had the draft on my phone, and yes, I did check out the NFL draft. And boy, was I happy as an Eagles fan, and I was happy as a division Eagles fan against the Giants and for the Redskins, if that makes any sense. I'm a diehard Eagles fan, for those who don't know. Find us on Twitter at MikeMox3X. I throw my name like that because, frankly, I'm hardcore. If you don't believe me, well, just ask that girl you're sitting next to. She'll tell you why I'm hardcore. And follow us at 1340 AM also on the Twitter station, giving you that identification. I just sat back and being a Washington Redskins supporter lately, like I said, covering for the chat of the station here. What a great draft. In and out. We're going to talk about that. But what I want to do today, guys, if we can, not just talk about the movie, because if you haven't seen the movie, guys, spoiler alert, we're going to talk about the movie. Second, I want to talk about the NBA playoffs. Oh, are they fantastic? Are the Raptors that damn good? Okay. Are the Sixers, what can they do? James Harden, is he complaining? To complain or not to complain? That is the question. So I want to put some fun into the show today, guys. I want to match the Infinity Stones that go with a certain athlete or team you feel you want to give or use that Infinity Gauntlet Stone on. All right? We're going to have a little fun today. We saw a little graphic that I already put out on Twitter. We have the Reality Stone. Duh, what it means. All right? We have the Mind Stone. Duh, what it means. Time Stone. You should know what that means. Power Stone. That's what that is. The Space Stone. Allows subjects to transport and travel anywhere in space. The Soul Stone provides a unique pocket of universe, giving you giant full control over all life forms in that universe. We're going to talk about that today, maxing that player with that stone. Wally, you saw the movie, $350 million. Micah, $350 million. Can I say this? After seeing it a second time, I've never seen anything better. I'm saying it right now. I'm not living in the moment. I let that moment pass. I went to see it again out the moment, and the moment still captivated me. I'm on record for saying the greatest trilogy, in my opinion, is up there anyway with, like, The Godfather and the Rocky series are Christopher Nolan's Batman. That was three movies, guys. This is 22 movies, 11 years of this culmination of what we got in Endgame. There's nothing better than this movie from a superhero standpoint, in my opinion. Micah, your thoughts?
Well, here's the thing about that. I believe that for you and me, and Wally, if you watch the majority of movies, anyone who invested the full 11 years in watching the entirety of the franchise, I believe will love the payoff this movie gives you. Infinity War and Endgame as standalone movies, they lose their luster to a casual fan who did not invest that same time as we have. So for us, just like people who read the comic books and actually know the comic book lore, they have more of a rooting interest in how they created the cinematic universe, how they told the stories, did they invest properly in the characters. That's why a lot of people were like, a lot of the comic book, the hardcore comic book fans, just like hardcore wrestling fans, the hardcore comic book fans were like, Captain Marvel was okay, but it wasn't really Captain Marvel. It was disrespectful to Monica Rambeau, and Mar-Vell was a chick. Like, what are they doing? And they had their complaints and they had their issues because they're the hardcore fans. I'm more so on the casual MCU fan. I don't read a lot of the comics, but I've watched every Marvel Cinematic Universe movie. And I can tell you who my bottom of the barrels are. But Infinity War and Endgame as one movie, because technically it's a five-hour movie, as one solid movie, has to be one of the best payoff movies I have ever seen when it comes to just the way they told the story, the overall arc of them as a team struggling, thinking that they're really close. Hey, bro, you should have went for the head. Then you did go for the head after the fact. It was already said and done. You know, and each character, in my opinion, had a good ending. I don't care about spoilers. Screw them. We don't spoil.
Screw them.
They had a whole 5 days to watch it. At this point, it's on them. So anyway, I personally feel that each character's ending, the main Avengers who started it, each character's ending was very solid to who they were as a character. The only endings we haven't gotten yet is the Hulks and Thors. And we can see that they kind of told our story that they're going to have one more movie for them to kind of close out their chapters. Because, I mean, come on now, Thor and Star-Lord, the back and forth between them was hilarious. I mean, we're going to get comedy gold in Guardians of the Galaxy 3, but that's future. I can't say Endgame was the best superhero movie of all time. That's a whole lot for me to do. What I need to do is see it again like you did for me to get a really more cool-headed assessment as to what I liked and what I didn't like. The one thing I had concerns about was that there was a lot of people complaining about Scarlett Johansson's character and how Black Widow was quote-unquote dissed. And I was like, she didn't get dissed. That's her character. Her character literally had nothing. She came into the world with nothing. She left with nothing. She left with more than she came in the world with.
This is where I refuse. It's like WrestleMania for me when it comes to certain things in the world, because we live in a world full of that word that we know so well called trolling. And people actually wake up and go to sleep and remember when I use a line, right? What was that? Well, Kanye said, hated people that have hated babies and have later on have hated kids. That's trolling. People nowadays have trolling babies, going to have trolling, you know, have trolling kids, because they're still hiding behind their computers and afraid to just let life be life. I don't care about that. I don't even really regard it. If you didn't like this movie for anything, like people talking about, oh, the time was warped, or they had missing whole pockets in the movies and things like that. Well, guess what? If you know anything about, since you want to be such a nerd about comics and time, once any time is messed with, then time can always be messed with, and there's going to be holes in every story. I don't care if you're DC, if you're Marvel, if you're Dallas, when they went back in time and brought J.R. Ewing back after being dead for a year and said it was all a dream. It's time. That means it's going to mess with the story, and what you know going forward does not exist anymore because time is ending. So your thoughts, though, was good. You want to mix it up with the greatest of all time. That's cool. That's Danny. You're entitled to a Cambridge. You see it again. We could talk about it in a spoiler review even more. Wally, your thoughts of the $350 million. It broke the original record by $100 million. That doesn't just happen. You don't break records by $100 million.
That's true. I thought Thor was hilarious. I just thought he was the funniest dude by far. His character, I mean, how – he changed up on his character, obviously going through a situation because he lost so many of his friends and whatnot, and his family and whatnot. But it was a great movie. I'm with Micah. It was a culmination of everything. Captain America was off the hook, you know, with the hammer. He got the hammer. He had the power with the hammer. And then Thor's response to it was like, I knew it. It was a real funny flick. And it was a good flick of action. It gave you everything.
It was a coaster of emotion.
Yeah, it was.
Like, even watching it a second time, I felt the same emotion that I felt then. And I knew what was coming. I knew what was not coming. And my thought going to this movie, or coming out of this movie, brother, shall I say, if you will, so to speak, was the fact that I everything I thought would happen didn't happen. Or if I thought would happen, happened a different way. And it was just like this movie just gave you, to me, the only argument I had the first time watching this movie was as a non-Hulk fan, but as a comic book, or not comic book fan, but as a movie guy and a cartoon guy. I'm like Micah. I'm not into the comic books too much per se, but I watch every movie and I watch every cartoon they invent of these things.
So I have two legs and more to stand on against comic book guys necessarily, because it's not rope for them. It's not rope for me. It's rope for everybody in intents and purposes. So everybody gets the Easter eggs, if you will, that nostalgic feeling of a movie. But with this roller coaster of emotions, it was like, come on, you got everything in this movie. But I didn't get Hulk. The first time I thought Hulk didn't come off the way that we wanted Hulk to get his get back. But if you watch it, he really, really does. Like the fact that he was responsible for bringing them all back, because he was the only one strong enough to take the snap and live.
Yeah.
From doing the snap. So Hulk got everything back in a sense, just not in the Hulk smash kind of way people want to see him in. So that's where I do want to start today and mix in the Stones versus the athletes of today. So the NFL draft took place, and we're all now aware that Kyler Murray goes number one to Arizona. Right? To me, and some critics, and I'm scouts, I'm not a scout or a critic. Well, I guess I am a critic, but not a scout. I had Dwayne Haskins being the best quarterback in the draft, but I knew he wasn't going to Arizona. So as an Eagles fan, the job last year was, come on, Cleveland, don't let Saquon Barkley go to the Giants. Some felt, I know I'm one of them, thought you could get, you know, Baker Mayfield at four and then get your running back first. How do you do it? Get the running back quarterback. But they didn't do that. Giants get Saquon Barkley. So this year it was, come on, Raiders, do something. Did not have the Giants get, you know, Giants, I like Carr, but get Haskins. And the Giants picked a quarterback from the University of Duke University. Yep. I'm not going to say his name because he's a quarterback from Duke University, Wally. Okay, when you saw the Giants go past Haskins and pick Mr. Jones, the predecessor to Eli Manning, what was your thought?
I thought the Giants did it because, and when I first thought that, I was like, thank you. That's one. I did say thank you. not even because they picked Daniel Jones, which I thought they could have picked up in the second round or even later in the first, they wanted to trade back. But it was more like you didn't even get an edge rusher. Like, you had the kid from Kentucky there and you didn't choose him. Like Josh Allen. You could have got Josh Allen, who you need. You need that type of player who can give you 10 plus sacks on a regular. You didn't get him. A guy who's been compared to a Von Miller-like player. You didn't get him, but you decided to get Daniel Jones. I was like, okay, cool. Whatever floats your boat, whatever floats. I mean, Daniel Jones isn't a bad prospect, but he has a lot of flaws, and he's not a guy that I think is valued at with these, you know, with a first-round grade or an early first-round grade. I mean, if you want to say late first round, that's fine. And to me, he's a second-round type of quarterback. But Just because he's an Eli disciple, he's an Eli Payton disciple in terms of being under Cutcliffe, in Duke, who coached Payton and coached Eli up. People kind of want to run with that. And to me, he's a guy that allows Eli to still be the quarterback in New York. That's why I think they picked him up. He allowed Eli to still be the quarterback in New York. If you brought in a Dwayne Haskins, you know, like Dwayne Haskins to me at this point in time in his career, it's better than Eli, and could be better than Eli ASAP.
Wow.
And he could be ASAP, right, in terms of Eli, where Eli is at today. I'm not talking about Eli, and where he's ASAP at today. ASAP.
So,
and the people in New York would be like,
the conspiracy theory, and I'll be sure with it. What is going on in the ownership of New York franchises? First Isaiah Thomas, and now Eli Manning. Why can't New York get rid of guys?
I don't know, but I just know, like, when you look at this situation, that's how I look at it. I think Eli, they got rid of Odell because Odell is pretty much telling it like it is when it comes to Eli. I'm not a big Odell fan, but he was telling it like it is when it comes to Eli. And you don't want to ruffle Eli within that management. We saw the whole thing when the coach decided to go with Geno Smith because Eli was that bad. He went with Geno Smith, and everybody went crazy, and the ownership pretty much told that coach, "Are you gone after that?" So I'm just saying, Eli is like the son. He's like the sacred son. You can't do no wrong to Eli. So why not bring a guy in Daniel Jones where he has to sit, he has to look behind, he has to walk, he has to work behind Eli. It's not like Dwayne Haskins, whose skill set is there, who's ready to go. You know, he's not that dude. And the fans, and New Yorker
well,
be like,
got
hey,
for
we
that?
Want Dwayne.
Couldn't Locke be that guy, or is Locke, or, you know, because Locke's going to stay,
nah,
you
Locke
know,
isn't that
assumably
guy.
In Denver.
Locke is, well, Locke, again, we're talking, again, I'm saying it again, like Locke has that pizzazz when it comes to arm strength. So people are going to want to see him play, right? That's the issue.
Okay.
The issue is that the issue was the uproar of the fan base. The fan base will not say, hey, put Daniel Jones in now. We want him in now. They won't do that. They know that Eli is better than Daniel Jones, period. They know that. Now, you give him a Drew Lock or you give him a Dwayne Haskins. I'm not even high on Drew Lock, but if you get a Drew Lock and Dwayne Haskins, there is sex appeal. There's like, okay, shoot, you see Drew Lock's arm? Shoot, man, why are we playing Eli? We need to be playing this kid. If you see Dwayne Haskins, that's 50 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. His stats speak for itself in Ohio State. They're like, hey, he should play now. Like, this should be a quarterback competition. You bring Daniel Jones in the situation, it's like, he didn't play that well in Duke. I mean, yeah, he's got the same coach that Eli had, so he can still sit. He can sit for a little bit. We're not going to, like, press Eli to come in now. You know what I mean? So it works for Eli. Like, Daniel Jones works for Eli. Like, Drew Locke, Dwayne Haskins, they don't work for Eli. Like, the fan base can say, you know what? We want those kids to play now.
Hello?
Hello? I just ended it. That's all.
Okay, wait just
oh, yeah.
That
enough.
Was so
I'm
abrupt, like
no,
damn. Okay,
I said
brother.
That. I just ended it. That's all.
Micah, when you heard the Giants bypass Haskins, I gotta ask you because you always think things are a certain way. Was there a hint of racism? No, because if you notice. And this is from our program director, Glenn Wood Thomas, has said that the New York Giants organization has never had a starting black quarterback. And the only one that's ever started a game was Geno Smith doing it for the time he did it for Eli, and look what happened there. What's going on in New York and not picking the right guys? Presumably, anyway.
Well, you know, Mike, this is where we have – ouch! I'm sorry, I'm sitting here at the trivia location. But this is where we have to go ahead and admit something real quick, that this is where we link our very first Infinity Stone, the Reality Stone. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the New York Giants are not living in current reality. They are living in an alternative reality where the guy who built a Super Bowl contending Carolina Panther team has totally forgot what it's meant to be a general manager in the NFL. He literally said out of his mouth, we're going to go best player available. It doesn't matter if they're a quarterback. It doesn't matter about need. And then the very next year, doesn't go for the best player available. He goes for what I guess, quote, unquote, he thinks is a need. You pass up Sam freaking Darnold, who was an A1. Everyone knew was going to be a good guy in the league when it comes to being an all-time quarterback. Most likely. That's what the projection was. Baker Mayfield was not going to be a bust. Because he was way too accurate and understands the logistics of playing football from the quarterback standpoint to be a bust. He may not have been top tier, but he wasn't going to sit here and lose you most of the games. So you had Baker Mayfield. You had Sam Darnold. Hell, you even had Josh Rosen out the piece, who just got traded to the Miami Dolphins, by the way. Gosh. You got all these guys last year. You chose Saquon because you said by your rendition that you're the best player available. That's what you said. And so at number six, one of the best players available was not Daniel Jones. It was like Wally just said, a Josh Allen. It was like it was a Dwayne Haskins. You didn't go best player available. You went for need, which is also extra. I want to use this word, but people get offended by it all the time. It was also slower than molasses in January because you didn't go with the best quarterback available if you're going to replace Eli. You could throw the black stuff out the window. They ain't got nothing to do with it. But just like Wally said, you have a backup to the legend, the only guy to consistently beat Tom Brady in Super Bowls. You have that guy in your city, and you are pretty much sucking off the teeth that he is, and you don't care if anything else falls up behind him. You want him to hold the grail, go out on his sword. The dude's old, he's rickery, he's done. You should have made a better choice, but hey, you know what? As a person who's a Redskins fan by proxy because of my wife and because of my friendship with Wally, congratulations, Wally. Congratulations for becoming the second-best team in the NFC East. The second best team in the NFC East. You're going to be fighting
that.
The Dallas Cowboys for the second best team in the NFC East because the Philadelphia Eagles will probably be number one because what they've done was fantastic. I mean, they've done a tremendous job. So long as Carson Wentz is healthy.
I mean,
they got this. They got this division.
I did give them the Mind Stone, the Philadelphia Eagles, for their draft. I did give them the Mind Stone, just so you know. I gave the Washington Redskins, though, the Space Stone, because the space that they are in right now is a good one. And I think that if you get in the running back back next year, we don't know what he can do. We brought AP back. If this young guy can come back healthy and be what they thought he could be, they just did the reverse New York Giants. And by getting the running back and the quarterback in this draft, they got the defensive team, right? The Washington Redskins, the Philadelphia Eagles, and, yeah, I'm going to say this, guys. Everybody's talking about the Patriots, and everybody's talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers. You got to bring it up, whether you like it or you don't like it. The Oakland Raiders, to me, had the three best drafts in all the NFL this past draft. The Raiders got 17 players in between preseason and drafts that are all going to play next year. The Washington Redskins have opened themselves up to be a contender, in my opinion, because I think Haskins is that damn good. And he's pissed for dropping to 15, but he should be happy that he dropped to 15 and gets to play at home. But then again, you know, maybe he's Tyler Mambo sauce, Wally. I don't know. Okay. But, and then the Philadelphia Eagles get everything they needed. Also, Wally, your thoughts on the draft? And who would you give a stone to? Let's give out an affinity stone, Wally.
Oh, the star! Oh, this! Oh, we doing. I thought we were doing for all sports. Are we doing it just the draft?
You use this stone or that sport? But if you got a stone for the NFL draft or for a team or for a player, give it to him.
I don't got one for this draft. I got one for a player in the NBA playoffs. I definitely got a stone for one.
Well, I got one for that too. His name is James. Stop crying, Hart.
Yeah.
So,
I got another one though. I got one for somebody. I got one for Dame time. I'm like Dame Lillard. I got one for him, though. I got one.
Come on, Mr. Bye-bye.
Yeah, Mr. Bye-bye-bye. I'm not going to say, when we get to that segment, that I got a stone for him. I got a vicious one for him. But now, when it comes to this draft, you got so many teams who did a good job. The Raiders, I mean, everyone talks about their reach with Farrell. I think Farrell was a reach to get him that early. But I like him, though. So I feel like you like somebody who's talented, go for it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have a knock on that because I felt like I'm a big fan of Mike Mayock and what he's done in terms of assessing talent, even for the NFL Network and some of the hits he's had just by dissecting players in the NFL Network. So it's hard for me to doubt what he's doing for the Raiders. I feel like he's going to, like, the kid Mullins. I feel like he got Mullins from, I think, from Clemson, too. Didn't he get Mullins from Clemson, too, the cornerback?
Yeah. Yeah,
I believe he got him too. So yeah, I like some of his draft picks. I mean, yeah, obviously what the trades they've made with letting Amari Cooper go and also Mac, they got, you know, a lot of draft picks off of that. But still, in terms of assessing talent, I like what the Raiders did. I actually was a big fan of what the Patriots did, and we all like talking negatively about the Patriots, but I love what they did in the draft. They got the wide receiver. I believe it was Butler. They got Butler. Yeah, they got Butler. Was it Butler they got? Which wide receiver they got, Mike? I'm sorry.
Well, I'm getting I had to reset my computer.
In the first round. All right. Well, they got the first round wide receiver who I did like. I forgot his name. I forgot his name. But then also they got the outside linebacker, edge rusher out of Michigan, my man Winovich. Chase Winovich. So I think that's a good, and they got him in the third round, which is a good, which a lot of people had him graded out as a first, second rounder. They got him in the third round. So, you know, they still, and he's a Patriots type of outside rusher. So they kind of, they're getting guys that fit their scheme. I like what they did. I mean, being out here in the DMV and being, you know, covering the Skins and, you know, being a Skins fan and whatnot.
Right.
I like what the Skins did. You know, obviously you mentioned Haskins, but it even goes a little bit above Haskins. Training back and getting Montez Sweat. Like, to me, that's a guy that was a top 10 pick talent-wise, and you got him at the late first round. And, you know, obviously it was the false reports about his heart situation, which a lot of people, it threw a lot of people off. But, you know, this is the guy that went to Michigan State, transferred to Mississippi State, was a guy who got his last 2 years in college, had 10.5 sacks, 12.5 sacks. So he's a ball player. And I've always said this, and, Mike, you heard it on the show, you know, you want a guy who produces on Saturdays, but you use the combine to prove a point. The combine is supposed to prove a point. It's not supposed to dictate who this player is. It's supposed to prove a point, what you do on Saturdays. the kid ran a 4.4 in a 40-yard dash.
Neil Harry from Arizona State, that burner.
Yeah,
the Patriots did a good job.
Yeah, they did a great job. So, you know, you got, you know what I'm saying, Montez Sweat ran a 4.4 in the combine. So you got a guy now, an edge rushing 3.4, who can now really turn that corner. The Skins never had a guy like that with that type of speed. Now you pair him up with the Alabama boys, also Ryan Kerrigan. Now this front seven is scary.
It's
going to be elite.
It's scary.
It can be very scary.
It's scary.
And you mentioned Reuben Foster now not being suspended.
Right.
Helps him out tremendously. So like, that draft pick was amazing. I'm getting Bryce Love. If you watch Bryce Love in Stanford before the knee injury, you know how good Bryce Love is.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's more comp for, like, say, a Chris Thompson next season. Because to me, Bryce Love won't be Bryce Love till 2020. So, again, I like the draft for the Skins. I thought they did a great job. I know a lot of people give Bruce Allen slack. You know, I do too. But you got to get credit when credit is due. You know, Bruce Allen, Doug Williams, Cal Smith, they did a great job with this team in the draft.
The draft was, to me, absolutely amazing for the Washington Redskins and what they did. That's why I have them on my space stone. I give them a space stone for what they did, because I just thought everything that they did was just impressive to me. And that's why I thought the Eagles getting Miles Sanders and getting Whiteside from Stanford as a receiver to help out Carson Wentz. As they pick up the fifth-year option today on Carson Wentz, also the Philadelphia Eagles, they have to go all in. But, again, you look at this Washington Redskins team, and I'm just scared. As an Eagles fan, the division is, to me, has been back on top for some years now, despite people saying that it hasn't been. You know, they have had their struggles, but to me, the NFC East always stays relevant. And the Washington Redskins and the Philadelphia Eagles just helped them stay relevant this year. Again, bringing in Terry the receiver from Ohio State to help out Haskins. So he has a teammate there with him as well. Anybody else in the draft that, or big picks, were you surprised by, Wally, or anything like that took place in the draft?
Being surprised? I was surprised. Obviously, I mean, Daniel Jones is one. That was like, wow, being that early. But a guy that I was surprised that, I'm trying to think of a second one.
Am I misplaced for giving – is Micah and myself misplaced for giving the Giants that reality stone?
No, because I think the Giants were off. I mean, other than that pick, I would say this. Other than that first pick with Daniel Jones, they had a good draft. The Giants
really?
Had a solid draft. Other than that one. Yeah, other than that one pick, they had a solid draft. Yeah,
see, when I
other
look,
than that one pick.
When I look at the draft, right, and you know, the worst thing I hate more than anything – I don't like mock drafts. I think they're a waste of time because they're always wrong.
They are.
And I don't like draft grades. You cannot grade a draft until after 2-3 years to see what happens with those picks.
Yeah.
Because
agreed.
At the end of the day,
agreed,
Zion can come into the NBA and be a bust for all we know at the next level. We
yeah.
doubt it, but you know, anything's possible, as Kevin Garnett told us, you know, plenty of times. But I gotta give the Giants reality stone. I want to give the Philadelphia Eagles the mind stone, because I think they're the mind of Howie Roseman being able to take over the Philadelphia Eagles franchise. Like, they're putting themselves in position. This is what I tell people for years, right, Wally? And hope you can relate to this as well. Fan is short for fanatic, or fanatic is fan is short for fanatic, right? Meaning you're fanatical about your team.
Yeah.
You want your team to just always be in place to try to win. If your team can be in place to win, as a fan, you can get behind that. And that's what makes sports or anything you like is what you like, because you're a fan. You get behind it. You stand behind what you love and what you have a loving for. And I just look at the NFC East right now. We're focused on the NFC East, not the entire draft as well. We can talk about some of those things later in the week. But right now, you know, in honor of end games, giving out these stones and the Redskins. I'm sorry. I know I'm just a supporter for covering the team and loving the inner people who don't, you know, actually play on the field, but the guys behind the scenes of the Washington Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
I root for those guys. I mean, as a Class A organization, and I have been around other NFL franchises, okay? So, but the Redskins to me is a Class A organization, so I root for them. The New York Football Giants is my real rival. Everybody says it's the Cowboys, but Cowboys and Redskins are heated rivals. For the Eagles, it's the Giants. And so to see this, I'm amused, and they're gonna Eli Manning is gonna start next year, and I think that's a problem.
No,
I think that's a big problem, and he should not start, but he will. And they, as you said, they got this pick so somebody behind them can sit there.
Yeah,
go ahead.
That's
Wilder.
All they did, and but you got. I mean, the team is gonna be fixated around Saquon Barkley. I mean, and it deservedly so. Saquon Barkley is special. He's phenomenal. But at the end of the day, you let Odell go. I mean, you got Shepard, who, you know, is talented, but still, he's not. I don't view him as a true lights out number one. He's a talented receiver. He's not a lights out number one. Eli's your quarterback. You know, so this team is definitely on the rebuild. They got a lot to work on. I mean, Daniel Jones, if it's forced to play in season one, that's going to be a terrible situation. From all the scouts that I've heard and people talked about, I mean, in terms of, he's a very smart guy in terms of understanding protections and whatnot, but they say he's slow in processing stuff on the field. So that's a problem. The NFL game is fast, man. It's not slow. It's fast. So you're slow in processing. These dudes will eat you up. So, you know, I don't wish ill on any kid because all these guys are kids. But, you know, it's going to be a struggle for the Giants.
It's going to be a struggle for the Giants. So it's a three-team race. And you know how everything's played on paper between us, but it's played in the field between the players. So it's going to be interesting to see moving forward. And we'll talk about the NFL more as well to see what happens next. But the NBA playoffs, you already know
it,
right?
It's
fantastic.
Love it.
Okay?
It's
fantastic. I love it. And I'm going to go to yesterday's game, the closing game. Right? That's the big talk, right? The NBA.
Yeah.
Let me say this, right? First of all, I'm going to give another stone. First, I'm going to give a stone. I'm going to give the soul stone. All right? I'm going to tell people what the soul stone is, okay? It allows the user to manipulate the souls of the living and the dead. Okay? And I'm giving this stone to one James Harden. And here's why. Jay, I need you to show some heart. This is the soul in sports, and I'm giving you the soul stone, okay? Because here we have, I know Jay Chris hates when I do that, right? The soul in sports. But listen, you get more calls in the NBA, and from what I've seen in my 30-plus years watching the NBA, next probably more than Shaquille O'Neal. That's how often you get fouled, right? And Shaq was fouled on every play. They just didn't call it.
He was fouled on every play, though. He was fouled
every
play.
Play.
Shaq was legitimately
every play.
Fouled on every play.
Legitimately a foul on Shaquille O'Neal.
Okay. Legitimately fouled on every play.
Smack! Right? Just smacking him. Whatever they can do. Grabbing him, pulling his shorts.
Yep.
Hitting him. What's that thing you do in school when you hit your knee, hit the back of someone else's knee? Whatever you can do to slow Shaq down, you did. James Harden, I'm not the people who get on Draymond because I don't like Draymond Green because I don't like the Golden State Warriors because of how they're constructed. But as a person who I am as myself, I as the kids would say, Draymond Green to me is lit. I like Draymond. I ain't going to lie. Because he's unapologetically doesn't care about you. And I think that's funny, right? So his comment about the foul was he's fouled me while James is shooting a three-point shot, right? Now, going to the first half where Klay Thompson, they didn't call that one, that was a foul.
Man,
that
Klay
was a
foul. I'm gonna be real.
He fouled. They didn't call
Klay Thompson's fouling it. He's fouled him a lot, and I'm not even pro Harden. I don't like the people try to get fouled. I hate it. But like
right.
Klay, but he wasn't
I hate
trying
it.
To get fouled in those plays. He was
I
straight
hate
up.
It.
But he was trying to go. He was going straight up. But with Klay, he was going. And Klay was fouling it. Like Klay was fouling it. Like that's the same. But to add to that, Mike, though, real quick, so you can get back to your point.
All
like
right.
James Harden, like did this to himself. I'm being real, like, unfortunately, it's the truth. No, I'm serious, it's unfortunate because I've always, like, I love James Harden as a scorer. I love him. I think he's a great scorer. One of the best scorers I've ever seen. I'm being dead serious.
Ever.
But at the same time, the problem is the NBA playoff game is so much different than playoff basketball. Like, your regular season is so different from playoff basketball, how refs rep, right?
That was my point.
They're going to let you play.
That was my, that's, but
play.
I have a problem with that,
yeah.
though. But, Wally, I have a problem with that. Because they called fouls. They called this particular foul throughout the playoffs and throughout the regular season.
I agree.
I've seen it. It was, and I know that when the NBA playoffs come, you say, well, oh, that's a playoff foul. And that's a, well, the fouls have to be the same. But they have to be the same. You cannot call fouls all year long and then get to the playoffs and tell me that's not a foul.
It's been like that 90s. It's always
I
been
get
that,
Wally,
like,
but,
you,
it, but
you did.
Come on, that's like
because,
I, you coach, you right? You coach. I just got finished watching my son play Little League. If an umpire, if an umpire cannot come out there and dictate what's the correct strike zone for a kid to learn, how will a kid know what's the strike zone?
But
if you call,
see, that's
all right,
different. Baseball is different. You're right.
All right, well,
baseball
here's this, Wally. In the first series between the Brooklyn Nets, right, and the Philadelphia 76ers, I watched that entire series, right?
Uh-huh.
And the Brooklyn Nets All-Star, D'Angelo Russell, repeatedly got foul calls on that very shot that James Harden did, right? And and James Harden got those calls in this game, except for down the stretch. Now, here's my beef with James Harden. He knows...
Yeah.
As well as I know what I saw, and I think you agree with me, James, you didn't get fouled. You look for the contact.
Draymond? No.
And, against Draymond, and he kicked his leg out. So he didn't go from the jumping point, which technically they play as a foul, from this jumping point where I start my shot and I come down with it as my same spot. He didn't do that. He moved his legs forward in a scissor position. Then they're kicking Draymond in the nuts the way Draymond did a couple years ago. All right, I'm going for the nuts and I'm trying to get fouled, and then cried and complained. And then Chris Paul, who I love, who I think is the best point guard that I've seen, you know, since in the modern era. I'll put it that far. He's not Magic and those guys, but in the modern era, is Chris Paul to me. Okay? Come on, Dwally. They got to man up. They got to stop looking for the refs to help them in this series against Golden State and man up, Wally.
No, again, like I'm saying, like I don't like when people try to get fouled. Like I gotta look at it. When you see it from the naked eye, you're like, oh, he got fouled. When you look at it in slow motion, you look at it for what it is. It's like Chris Paul turned his butt to him when he shot the three. It's like you weren't trying to even shoot the ball. You were trying to get fouled. Like you're not even trying to like that's my thing. Like go straight up and try to make the shot. Let the defender foul you. You know, let the defender foul you, especially on a jump shot. I get a drive. A drive is different. I get a drive. That's people do it all the time. They've been doing that for years. A drive is totally different. When we're talking about a jump shot, like you a pull up, like you like James Harden leaning forward on Draymond. That's ridiculous. That was ridiculous. Like and think you don't get the foul. Like my only issue, I watched the Clay. Cause first when Clay was fouled, when they said Clay fouled him, I mean he was complaining about Clay. I was like, James Harden, you always exaggerate. I'm sure you did something and Clay didn't foul you. Then I watched the replay. I was like, oh yeah, Clay's fouling you. Like, Clay's, like, really – he's, like, dirty fouling you. Like, he's going under you. Like, the same thing people complained about what happened to Kawhi and how Kawhi had to roll – somebody went under Kawhi. He rolled his ankle, and that's why he lost the Golden State in the series. That's what Clay did. Clay rolled up under him, like, on a jump shot, on a couple of jump shots. So, if I'm James Harden, I'm more upset at that, the first quarter stuff, rather than what's going on, like, the last second shot and this, that, and the other, because – truth be told, like, you didn't get fouled. And also, you didn't come to play anyway, to be real with you. You were missing layups. You were missing floaters.
Yeah.
Like,
was he 4 for 16 from three?
They need you.
4 from 16 for
like,
three.
Yeah, you had that same situation. Again, you had that same situation in the Utah series, but your team was better enough to better than Utah, so you were able to win. But you mentioned D'Angelo Russell. And I'm going to say it goes back to my statement before, though. The difference is between D'Angelo Russell and James Harden is that James Harden is the GOAT when it comes to, like, creating fouls. Referees know what's going on. Like, they're good. They hip. Like, they're not hip to D-Lo. You dig what I'm saying? Like, they're not hip to D-Lo. So it's almost like you're a Chicago Bulls fan, right? You're a Chicago Bulls fan. You
of course,
you
of course.
That run.
Chicago Sixers fan.
What did Phil Jackson say in a press conference if somebody was doing something? What would he do in a press conference?
He would try to bait them into doing something. But here's the thing with this, though. I don't think D'Antoni, and I don't know the man personally. This is going off of his traits and what I've seen him coaching, right?
Uh-huh.
It'd be one thing if he's doing this, and then because he's still going off on the refs also, right? If this is doing this to put that plug in the refs' ears and it works. But what if he truly believes these were fouls and telling us, you know what I'm saying? Like, we've known him
to do that before. No, he knows. He thinks there were fouls at the time. I would want to know if after the game when he viewed the tape, if he still feels that way, because I mean at the time he thought it was a foul. I think with the naked eye you see foul. Like I'm not gonna lie to you, in the naked eye you see foul, right? But when you look at the replay, you're like, no, bro, you ain't get fouled. Like you trying to draw the contact, you ain't get fouled. It's almost like.
I'm trying to, it's almost like it's on a defensive side of the ball when you're trying to play defense. I don't know how to explain it. It's just a unique situation what James Harden has done in the NBA. And I don't want to knock him because I get the hustle. Like, I understand, like, your job is to score buckets. I get it. So you take advantage of the rule, right? So you can, it's almost like you're playing a video game. You find a cheat code. So you try, you know, you cheat, right? You got a cheat code. So I get what he's doing. But at the same time, as a guy who loves the sport of basketball and the pureness of basketball and the skill level, like, when someone just tries to get fouled, and that bothers me. Like, it just bothers me. So, like, with James Harden in that game, like, I felt like in the first quarter he wasn't trying to get fouled, and he was getting fouled. And then after that, like, he started to really try to get fouled. He really tried to get fouled, and I'm glad the referees didn't reward him because I don't like that. I don't like
so,
that. Like, I don't
can,
like
can,
that.
Can I guess, who you're giving your stone to? Because I got a couple NBA people getting some stones. I gave James Harden the soul stone.
Okay.
And I'm giving the Philadelphia 76ers, who we're going to talk about soon, the time stone. Because I think, you know, time's about to run out in the Philadelphia 76ers. And I picked them to go to the NBA championship finals.
I gave my man Dame the soul stone because he's crushing souls right now. He crushing souls. Dame is crushing. He's taking your spirit.
Come on, Damon, bye-bye Lillard.
He's taking spirits. Yeah, he said he's taking spirits with him. He said, come with me. Come with me. I'm taking your spirit. Like, Paul George got to say it's a bad shot. He took your spirit already. Like, he took your spirit already. Russ is like,
He snapped his ass home.
Russ rocking the baby. He took that baby with him. He took that baby with him. We ain't rocking that baby. You took the baby. You know what I'm saying? He's really taking your soul. Now, it was to a point that everybody was saying Russ is like one of the premier point guards. He done took your soul enough to say, you know what? Everybody now says I'm a better point guard than you. You know what I mean? Like, he's taking souls. You know what I'm saying? Like, he has no conscience. You know what I'm saying? Like, he a soul crusher. That boy Dame bad, boy. That boy Dame bad. That's a bad man. That's a bad man.
I've always thought Damian Lillard was good. That's why I stopped being a fan of LaMarcus Aldridge. I did. I thought, why would you leave Damian Lillard? Now, I get going to play with San Antonio. Dame. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I thought, I just didn't like the move. I thought if you stay with Dame, y'all could win. Right?
You know what's so vicious about Dame, though? Dame is not just a great player, not just a star player, not even an all-star, but a superstar, is that when LaMarcus left, what did everybody say?
They said he wasn't going to be garbage.
He took that. He had that team. Took that team in the playoffs. That's when you know. See, this is my thing. That's when you know that you that dude. As everybody may love, like everybody fixated with like a Kyrie Irving, and Kyrie's a phenomenal talent. He in Cleveland, they ain't winning crap without LeBron. Like, you dig what I'm saying? They ain't winning crap without. They ain't doing this. Dame could have a team in the Western Conference. In the Western Conference, when everybody said when they lost to LaMarcus Aldridge, at that time was a top, but they arguably was the best power forward. They called him like the best big or power forward in basketball. A lot of people were like Kevin Love, LaMarcus Aldridge, like they were like putting them all in the same one. And Blake Griffin, that dude left. You had a young CJ McCollum who nobody knew about, but all you basically had was Dame Lillard and a bunch of role players, and you still took that team to the postseason. That's when you know you're on a different level. That's when you know you may need another star play with you, but dude, you're good enough to carry a franchise. Like you're good enough. That's when you knew he was that dude.
347-637-3859. I have another stone. And I told you I'm gonna give the time stone to the Philadelphia 76ers. They're running out of time. The time stone. Yeah, because I picked them to go to the NBA Finals. I thought with the additions of Tobias Harris, I thought put them over the top. I really, and I still think, but for some reason, Tobias Harris, you look at paper, you go, how and why could this team lose? Embiid, to me, the best center in basketball. Now Embiid is probable for tonight's game with illness, not the knee, just not feeling good.
Okay.
When they already had a team where Siakam, Kawhi Leonard just went to work on them. They got beat by two guys on this past Saturday night. And not just that, in the fourth quarter, they let Serge Ibaka, who I don't like no more because personal reasons, like who gives up Kerry Hilson. So I don't know, but you know.
I know, man. Serge,
she was having a
bad
morning birth or something, but Kerry Hilson, come on. Hey, Kerry,
I know
you're an African Curry, man. I got a friend in his name, Wally. I'm married, but Wally's not. Kerry, if you're listening.
I'm not, and I love him.
We're definitely going to Pretty Girl Rock. I dance for him. If he don't, I'm doing it right now. You can't see me in the studio. I'm doing a Pretty Girl Rock. Okay, but so you let this team just dominate you in this game. Now, I get first game, all this, but you had time to prepare. And I just feel like the Sixers are running out of time because of Brett Brown. I look at Brett Brown, and I watch him repeatedly get out-coached. I watched Jimmy Butler get mad at him after being here for 2 weeks in Philadelphia because of the way he was coaching things. And Jimmy didn't think things should go that way. And I'm not saying Jimmy's always right. But the one thing I think two things about Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler, to me, talked his way out of a Supermax contract deal. I think he was looking at a max deal. But a Supermax, maybe the Lakers would throw it at him because they need somebody really bad over there. Or a team like the Lakers or the Knicks might throw him that. But a contender team, they're only he talked himself out of it. But I also think Jimmy's old school, and Jimmy does know the difference between people not working hard. So I respect Jimmy in that field. And Brett Brown, again, like people took Brad Stevens' defensive plan and implemented it in this game immediately from the open tip. When they got on the ball, they just went back into a zone with their hands, and they're a tall, long, slinky team, and they Philadelphia can do anything. And if J.J. Redick is not hitting jump shots, the Philadelphia 76ers cannot win a game because he's their legitimately only three-point threat from deep. And he opens up the court. And when he's missing, in which he was missing, they can say heavily. I don't like when I'm watching a game, Wally, and you watch the game, I hope. And you sitting there saying, oh, that's good defense. This man missed wide-open shots. Okay? It wasn't good defense. He just missed the shot.
JJ?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like the Sixers have – to me, like, when you don't have – remember my brother and I, we talk about this all the time, about the Sixers. Like, they should never be blown up. Like, what I mean by that –
never.
Is, like,
never. Never.
This is what I mean by that, though. This is what I mean by that. Like, in the NBA, the NBA is about runs, right? It's about runs. Never. A lot of teams go on big, crucial runs. So when you have an imposing center, like an Embiid, right? And I'm talking about never, they should never go on – teams should – let me go back. Teams should never go on runs when Embiid's in the game, right? Should never go on. What I mean by that is, and this is up to Embiid to mature up too. At the same time, when a team is capturing the momentum, like Toronto did, they captured the momentum and it just started snowballing, right? Like, dude, stop! Don't shoot the three. Like, just say, you know what? I'm getting that block and I'm gonna get an easy bucket, and I stop the run. You know what I mean? You just stall time for your team to make their own run, their counter runs. So, like, when Kawhi is going crazy 45, that whole arena is erupting. But at the same time, when they're going through that situation, you just get that ball in the post and let Embiid go to work. But the problem is sometimes, I don't know, with Brett Brown, sometimes they want to go tailor things to Jimmy Butler or, you know, let Ben Simmons run it and take it. But then Ben Simmons ain't trying to shoot the ball, so I'm not going to say Ben Simmons. Tobias Harris. Like, when you're in that situation, that environment, especially on the road, we saw it years ago when Kobe and Shaq, when the Lakers, they would impose Shaq, so, you know, in terms of runs, to stop runs. That way they knew they were going to get buckets, you know what I'm saying? So, and then when the game kind of manifested in a certain way, then Kobe kind of shut it down. So when you look at it, for the Sixers, like, for them to beat a team, especially on the road, right? Not at home, because at home, your role players play so much better. Like J.J. Redick's making every shot. But when you're on the road, you gotta go to your dominant dog when you have a dominant dog.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Right. They didn't do that.
So when a team is going on a run, you gotta feed them. And in B, you gotta be smart. Like, you can't be taking jump shots.
Three pointers.
Especially when they need you. So you can't be taking those at that particular time. Now, in the ever flow of a game, depending on how the game is going, and sure, you can take a couple of those shots. You can take a couple of those shots. But say you're down seven, right? You're down seven. Toronto has all the momentum. You can't take the three. You got to go on the block, get yourself an easy bucket, or get fouled or whatever. Change momentum. And that's the problem with the Sixers to me. It's like it's a combination of Brett Brown and Embiid, too. It's like Embiid not, you know, understanding – the momentum or the pace or the temperament of the basketball.
See, I can't. I agree and I disagree with the part of Embiid part because I think that's coaching. I think the coaching call for the play. And I put it on not just Embiid. I see you're Embiid, but I'm going to raise you the team because I watch the Sixers a lot and I wonder, they still, to me, have no identity. The identity is it should be Embiid. And people run through Embiid. And I'm a fan of that kind of basketball, all right? But I think they want to go ISO. Like, they would probably play. If Embiid does not play tonight, I would not be surprised if they play a little bit better than they did the other night. Because they're in sometimes when Benny has the ball in his hand, he can do what he wants without that guy being in the paint. It's a different game. So, but that scares me because you have the best of a lot of things with the Philadelphia 76ers if they just use it to their advantage. And that's the problem that mind boggles me.
Yeah, it gets. This is how you share it, though, right? It's that one. What you do is that you make sure Embiid's getting those touches early, and you make sure that Embiid's a big time presence. But then to get those other guys going, you dig what I'm saying? To get those other guys going, you get the ball in Ben Simmons' hands, and you can run that dribble handoff to J.J. Redick off the curl, and boom, that's a three. That's a jumper. You know what I mean? You can do so much with that. Or you get Ben in the post, and now you get your feet in the role players. You know what I'm saying? Because Ben's not going to always get a double team, but Ben's going to always be looking to pass. You get Embiid in the post, too, at the same time. Embiid is in the post. They're going to say they double team him now. Now JJ's getting open shot. Now Tobias Harris getting open jumpers. Like, you can still use the two together and get good offense. Like, that shouldn't be just because Embiid and Simmons are in the game together. Both those dudes can still work off each other in a great way. Again, especially when you got a Ben Simmons, a guy who's not looking to score, he's looking to pass the ball. So, I agree. I think that there's no. I hate that thing that I hate when people start to say that. Okay, Ben Simmons and Embiid, like, you know, they play better when one of them is not on the floor. I think that's asinine. I think that's ridiculous.
I agree that it's asinine, but sometimes it seems that way.
No,
not saying they do because.
No, look at the Nets series. I mean, I agree with you. Look at the Nets series when Embiid didn't play that game, and look how good Ben had 31, almost a triple double in the team. Like, it flowed differently. But again, I don't blame that on Embiid. I'm with you. I blame it on coaching.
That's,
you know,
coaching and the players.
To step up.
They have to recognize
to
their strengths. They got to recognize their strengths and work with each other's strength and stop trying to be the alpha dog. And when I watch this team, I think they're always fighting. I go back to game one with Jimmy Butler with the Philadelphia 76ers. We spoke about it on the show, and I remind you of that conversation. I thought on purpose they did not give Jimmy Butler the ball. It was so many opportunities to give Jimmy Butler the ball in spaces, and they just did not. Okay, and you're talking about these ISO plays. Jimmy likes to go ISO. He used to average like 4 ISO plays a game in Minnesota. He averages like 1.6, 1.5 with the Philadelphia 76ers in the game. And that's him. That's Embiid sitting there while he's trying to go. It's just they better fix it, and they better fix it fast. That's why I give them the time stone. Because I think time – because Kawhi Leonard on Saturday night told the NBA he is still a superstar. And this Siakam kid they better find out something quick.
Y'all can come ball. They're going to have to pay. Like, that's the thing. A lot of folks are saying that, you know, the Spurs should ask for Siakam over DeRozan. And not, you know, because you can see it little by little last year because he's younger. Not a knock on DeRozan because DeRozan is a scorer. But Siakam is younger. And you can see it little by little. This kid gets better every year. I mean, you wouldn't know it, but this kid averaged in New Mexico State. He averaged about 20 points a game. So, you know, and he's relatively new to basketball. He learned basketball as a teenager. So now, you know, you see it. Like, he's getting better every year. And he's already athletic. He plays great defense. He's starting to shoot a 3-ball better. This tandem right now, this season with Kawhi and Siakam, is a hard team. It's a hard tandem to beat. You know, and then you got Marc Gasol. You got Lowry if he decides to play basketball in the playoffs. So you got a team that can play basketball. You got a team who can hoop. But again, if the Sixers are still talented enough to compete with them, that shouldn't be a problem. If you're talking about who's a better coach team, looks like Toronto's a better coach team, and that's the problem within the two. But yeah.
But I don't think Toronto should be a better coach team. That's my issue also.
They
should not be
a better coach team. Well, I mean, it's just coaching. You know, coaches are coaches. You can't say, like, a coach is a coach. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes, look at Milwaukee. Like, I feel like Milwaukee's coach is an excellent coach to get them to play at the level. And Brad
just not yesterday,
is an amazing
right?
coach, as you saw.
Just not yesterday. Just not yesterday.
Oh, no. No, Brad Stevens.
Did that game shock you? Did that game shock you?
Not at all.
112-90.
You watched it. Oh, the blowout shocked me. Boston winning didn't shock me. The blowout shocked me. But, you know, again, you got to understand, like, not understand, but when you watch Brad Stevens in this postseason, what he did with the Pacers, against the Pacers, and then going on to this series, like, yeah, he got his swag back. Like, he doesn't care now about rotation. He does his own thing. Like, he's back to doing his own thing. Like, it's like,
a Brad Stevens fan,
That's my dude. That's my dude, man. I'm a stand for that, Brad Stevens, because I appreciate great coaching, because his rotations in the regular season, you can tell, was more like, I got to make this kid happy. I got to make this kid happy. You know what I mean? Rozier crying about, you know, Kyrie's minutes. I love my boy Gordon Hayward, so I got to make sure sometimes I play him in the star lineup because we put in money for him. You know what I'm saying? Let me chill on Kyrie's minutes. You know what I mean? Because I got to hold him off. And then sometimes he play better without Kyrie, so let me hold off on his minutes. Now it's like he got a thing where, screw it. Marcus Morris balls. Let me play Marcus Morris. If Brown
he
is playing
ball.
Good today,
he
I'm
did ball.
Brown. Like, yeah,
he did ball.
It's not about, okay, I got to find a way to let him play this minutes, this, that, whatever. Now it's about, if you're balling tonight, you balling. Like, you're balling. Like, that, you're going to play. You know what I mean? So, if it's Rozier, you're playing today. If it's Gordon Hayward, you're playing. If it's Brown in the Pacers series when he was hitting threes, like, he's going to play. Like, if Tatum ain't playing like Tatum should play, he on the bench. So, it's like he now has this thing where, you know what, we're a team. So, I'm going to coach this like we're a team, like anything. I'm not going to coach it for minutes because this player isn't happy, this, that, and the other. Whoever balling tonight is going to play. And that's the Brad Stevens we saw last year because there wasn't a superstar. It was everybody was young and hungry. Now it's like, you know what? I know I got Kawhi. I know I got Kyrie back, but still, forget it. Like, I'm playing the best players who are playing today, that day. And you saw that. They had a great game plan. They made the Greek Freak work.
Right. That only made him work. We better find out what he's built up next, too, because they made him look like the Giannis from before. And that shocked me in watching that game because I'm like, all right, Boston. Here's the thing with Boston, and you said something that I'm going to pick up on, not even pay attention to. Stevenson getting his swag back. Right, because this team has to play the way they play best, and that's have this rotation, let this team play with confidence in how they play, and then when it matters most, give Kyrie the ball. To be honest, that's what works.
They run sets. They don't need to ISO. They don't need to ISO at all. They really don't. But when you know in a series. That there's a team that's going to understand everything you're going to do, like everything you're going to do. So it doesn't even matter. So now you need that dog. That's you got Kyrie for it. Now, like when crap doesn't work out, I got the ISO killer right here. Like I got an ISO killer. And then you say, Kyrie, go to work. Hey, barbecue chicken, time to go to work. Time to eat up, time to go to work. So they got that now. That's what makes it better with this unit compared to the unit last season, is that now they got a dude who can go ISO for real. Tatum can go ISO, but there's – he's not as efficient as Kyrie going ISO. So, like, it works out. And, like, the Giannis thing, it goes back to James Harden. I'll say this, too. Like, we were talking about James Harden. Giannis thought he was going to get them regular season fouls. That was the problem. Giannis thought he was getting regular season fouls. It's the playoffs, bro. It's the playoffs. You dip your shoulders and you throw elbows, right, and you initiate contact. Referees are not going to reward you. That is bad. I'm telling you, this is – playoff basketball is so much different than regular season basketball. In the regular season, you can initiate contact, and it will give you the foul because your name is Giannis or whatever. And they're like, you know what? I'm chilling. This is
we didn't get
it.
A chance to talk
he's
about it.
He's getting a foul.
We didn't get a chance to talk about it. The series have already taken a place. I know you still wouldn't change off of one game. I know I didn't. I picked Milwaukee versus the 76ers in the Eastern Conference Final only because I need – Boston not to play the Sixers in the Eastern Conference Finals. I picked the Sixers to go to the championship. I picked Golden State to win, but I didn't pick, and this is because you got to go through the, you know, after the second series is over, because I didn't pick Portland. I picked OKC. So, but that's not what happened. So I'm going to pick Denver to still beat Portland. So I have Denver going to the Western Conference Final against the Golden State Warriors. I got Warriors and Philly. That was my pick before the playoffs started. That's my pick I'm still going to go with. What's your take on these games? Any changes, or has it been the same since the playoffs started?
For me, my prediction was I had Portland beating OKC. I had San Antonio beating Denver.
Of course you did. You're Pop. You're not having Pop lose the first round. I know how you think.
I know.
Right.
I can't. So hard. and if it wasn't for LaMarcus Aldridge, he would have a chance. He messed up two teams,
Portland and San Antonio.
He sure did. Look, man. He sure did. He messed up the church's money with that one.
He's worse than Star Lord.
Yeah, there you go. Who's Star Lord? Star Lord.
Star Lord, the one when they had in Infinity War, they had the glove off and he stopped them. And where's Gamora? Right.
I know what it is. I know Star Lord. That's my man Chris Pratt. I know what that is. There's a stone I do want to talk about. You can call it the
Let me get them out.
You used to rock.
I used the Soul Stone for them.
For the Sixers.
Hold on.
For the Sixers. Use it for the Sixers.
The Sixers I gave them the Time Stone. The Time Stone.
Time Stone. Yeah, I got that for Golden State. Their time's running out. It's coming. Time is coming. I ain't going to say this. It's coming. The KD thing, he about to leave. It's coming. They getting that Time Stone. They better love it all right now. They better love trying to win the championship now. They're probably going to lose this year, too. But, yeah, that thing coming. That thing coming. It's coming. Like, what we saw with the Clippers, when we saw them struggling with the Clippers, I don't care how crazy KD went with getting 50 and whatnot. Yeah. This is not the same Warriors thing. At the time, it's coming. Is it Houston series? It could be the Houston series because they're going to struggle every game against the Rockets. Or it can be in the next – not the next round. I think they can kind of be all right in the next round. But when they get to the NBA Finals, whoever they play in the Finals, if they get to the Finals, that's going to be a problem. Like, they're going to – if it's Toronto, if it's Boston – if it's even the Sixers or Milwaukee, it's going to be a serious problem. This team ain't the same team we saw in the past.
Who's in your finals, Wally?
My finals. I'm talking about Mike. Let's say, who's in my finals? Let's think about this. I got Boston.
Who's in your finals? So you have the Warriors, or you don't have the Warriors?
I don't got the Warriors. No, I got Boston. You know what? I'm going to go.
You got Houston and Boston. Come on, Wally.
Not Houston, man. It's Dame time, man. I'm going with my man Dame. Dame about to shock the world, man.
What?
Exactly. Clear money don't make money, bro.
Dame?
It's Dame time. It's Dame time. It's his time, bro. It's Dame
time. Not Vader
time.
Not Vader time.
It's Dame time.
Dame time.
Nah,
don't get it confused
Dame
with Big Man Vader. Rest in peace.
No, exactly. Ain't Vader time. It's Dame time, man. My man taps his hand. He taps his arm every time when he about to go clutch. It's Dame time, man. You know what time it is.
So... moving on, guys, in honor of Avengers Endgame, great movie. I've seen it twice. You should go see it twice as well. $250 million in the United States, crushing their own record by $100 million, $1.4 billion worldwide. And I remember the critics, and I put into their little post on your Twitter pages that, yeah, I'm not crazy. I thought it could have hit $400 million. I thought it was that big. I knew I may not be a critic. I may not, you know, in that level of, you know, the ins and outs of Hollywood, but I'm a fan. And I know I'm very postly intuitive. There it is, with fandom. Okay. So I wanted to give the Power Stone to Vincent Kennedy McMahon because he's drunk with power. And wrestling needs a change. So I should have probably gave him the Reality Stone, but I just felt that in the spirit of the NFL draft, it was more important to give it to the Giants. I think the Giants don't have any reality on how to have a successor in New York or even know how to feed the media crap. You could have just said, hey, this kid's the next Eli Manning and sold that. He's going to be the under. So we didn't even do that. You just got this guy out here looking like a lame duck, right? So, but then as I get approached to today, I get hit with a message from One Champ Creed of how great of a promo that one Cody Rhodes cut. And I want people to know that I am a Cody Rhodes fan. I always have been from day one. So when he sends me this promo, I go, damn, Cody? It's like that? And he pretty much, I retweeted. You get a chance to check it out while you retweet it. So I'm just paraphrase. Because if anybody remember the Hall of Fame ceremony where Triple H said that pissant company, I'm talking about AEW when it came to Badass Billy Gunn and, you know, their little
story about McMahon.
So he responded to that and really came at the Attitude Era and said, yes, no matter how great The Rock was, electrifying as he was, did it mean more than Punk on the stage talking about the pipe bomb and all kind of stuff? And it was just a very – yeah, Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes said a lot.
Hey.
A lot in this, ripping the WWE. And I thought that was pretty cool. I really, really, really did. And then, if you didn't know, Wally, the fight between Miller and AJ is off on June 1st because Jarrell Miller from Brooklyn has failed 3 Vada drug testing and testing positive for GW1516, EPO, and
Hive. Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know.
So, damn, he was going to cheat his way to the title, right? So, it made me think, where do I put this stone? But I'm still going to do what I do best, and I'm going to give the stone to Vince McMahon. Because I just need to understand something. I just really, really, really need to understand something. Vince, what are you doing? Your product is shame. You got a black champion. Still nothing. People need to understand. So that was my
what
last
still
stone.
Nothing though?
Well, it's been 3 weeks since WrestleMania, and they're losing fans in droves. And they're not losing me, per se. I'm here to stay no matter what. But, like, I didn't do my show last week because of my car incident, and I will have a show this week, so I will bring this back up again on Around the Blocks with Mike Knox, wrestling show.
Which is a good show.
And thank you. And I sit here and I go, self, I do that a lot, Rod. I'm not lying. I actually, damn, Michael, what's wrong with you, right? So and I sit here and I go, fans, but I understand. I realize, Wally, I've always used this terminology. I am that one guy, one foot in, one out guy when it comes to like entertainment. Not in life, but in entertainment, I don't have time to complain because I'm watching it, and I'm watching it to be just entertained. Yeah. I don't take it too seriously. And I thought a meme that a wrestling fan put out over the weekend was very, very funny when he said, I'm watching all these emotional tweets about Avengers. Y'all do know that shit is fake, right? I just thought it was the funniest thing in the world because y'all always said about wrestling fans, right? So that's where I wanted to go with my stone. But I will real fast, we got here while in this best numbers of the weekend, Infinity Stones. If I can give an Infinity Stone another one to, I want to give one to an inspiration to myself and I think a lot of black people in America. And that's the day we lost we lost John Singleton. They took him off of life support. For those who don't know, he's noted film director John Singleton had passed away today. They've taken him off of life support. He had a stroke. About a week or so back. This man is responsible for giving us movies like Boys in the Hood, Poetic Justice, Higher Learning, Baby Boy. For those who don't know, Too Fast, Too Furious, Four Brothers. Okay, I wasn't a fan of Rosewood, but I didn't even know he did Rosewood, which is a Western.
Yeah.
Abduction. Okay, he's responsible for so many movies, and a movie like Boys in the Hood that opened America's eyes to what was going on in the cities of not just not just South Central LA, but in black hoods around the world, and it just really opened their eyes. And this visionary, he's also responsible. I watched a show come on FX called Snowfall, right?
Uh-huh.
That just got picked up for his third season. And as he died, my first thought was, man, am I gonna get some more Snowfall? Because I know he writes Snowfall, which is also set based in LA and like how crack got to the hood. And so to speak, you know, I mean, he's just a very, very good director, writer. I'm not here to talk about this man's personal life and what he's did, but I'm talking about what he has given me. And I just want to give our respects to his family and our prayers go out to all them and his director, John Singleton. Anything you want to say about film director John Singleton?
Yeah, I just think it's a sad day. I hope people, you know, come out in drones and appreciate, you know, him for what he's done for the community. He's given us a voice within the movie scene in terms of what happens in our communities and whatnot. Boys in the Hood wasn't just a movie just for urban folks, but, you know, it was nominated for an Academy Award. Think about that. A movie talking about gangs and stuff that happens in the inner city and was nominated for an Academy Award before itself was like trendy, you know, and nowadays things get a little trendy, but this is before times when trend, when things were trendy. So when you look at what he, with what he did for our community in terms of representing us in the movie scene, you know, as a guy that we all need to appreciate and say, you know what, this is one of the greats that fought, that has, you know, has passed and has gone, and his legacy will never end. His legacy will continue because what he brought to the table in terms of educating us as Black people was something great.
I have nothing else to say to go with that. That was brilliant. That was emotional. It was honest. John Singleton, y'all. Like, I mean, just nothing else to say. I was always that line from Game. Tell me your first bootleg wasn't Boys in the Hood. You know what I mean? like that was a movie that, you know, really, for what it's worth, as much good as it brought a lot of bad as well. You know what I mean? Because people can. I remember when these movies came out and was speaking the truth. I always had this problem is that when we speak the truth, we act the most idiotic.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
I agree.
At this time when this movie came out, I will never forget the mass shootings that were at these movies. And it's reasons like this where people would go, I don't go to opening days, like, you know, and. It's just a shame that we lost such a guy like this at such a young age. When I see a stroke, he's 51 years old. Now, we lost, you know, L.A. has lost, you know, Nipsey Hussle, Luke Perry, and now John Singleton. It's just like I feel for the city of Los Angeles, who I wish was my third or fourth home, to be honest. Like, you know, and just I just a lot of good things. I look at 51 years old, I go, I got to get my life healthy. You know what I mean? I got to get my life healthy at 51 years old. You cannot be leaving your family at 51 years old. You haven't lived your life. You know what I mean? So that's that right there. But best and worst of the weekend, Wally, because wrestling is tonight. Okay. And I tell people, I was going to say last week on last week's show that the season really didn't start until last week. Right, you had the after Raw show, after SmackDown, after Mania shows, right? Or SmackDown after Manias, right? And then you had the draft after that. So it really didn't start. But so last week it started, and you got to see the beginnings of some of the stories and where they were going. And three things pissed a lot of people off over the last week. Not too much SmackDown necessarily, but Raw, which most fans tend to complain about. And one was Bray Wyatt's new gimmick. With the Firefly Funhouse, I actually like it.
Do you really?
If you go back, and listen to when I talked about Christmas before and buying action figures from my boys, and I said every action figure was sold out, but a Bray Wyatt action figure because the demonicness of his character, people aren't buying for their children. Okay, and I also came to an epiphany last week, and if you notice, I changed the name of Around the Blocks of Mike Knox. Pro wrestling show to wrestling show because I realized I don't talk pro wrestling too much because pro wrestling is your AEWs, your NXT. If you want to watch a WWE pro wrestling show, that's NXT, that's your Ring of Honors, right? That's your NWAs. And I watch them, but I don't watch them enough to talk about. And I will when AEW comes out because I've been a Cody fan since day two. I always say day two because my friend, my son's godfather, Phil, was a fan of him from day one. And then we don't talk about when he was back with Spark Plug Holly, I picked up and became a fan after he said, yo, look at this guy. Then I paid attention. I've liked Cody through every aspect of Dashing Cody to Bags Over the Face Cody to the Mask Cody. It didn't matter. I've always been a fan of Cody, even Stardust Cody. So I'm okay with this gimmick because they had to lighten it up. It's the same gimmick. If you listen to what he said, it's the exact same things that came out of his mouth when he was Bray Wyatt in the ring with the Fireflies. The only difference is now, if you look at things from another perspective, things like this are scary. Some people were scared of Mr. Rogers, believe it or not. Can he really be this squeaky clean? What's wrong with this guy? I like the gimmick, and I want to see what comes more from the gimmick. I'm not saying it's great. I didn't see more before I complain about it.
It's like
right?
changing the Undertaker. It's like changing the Undertaker back to a skyscraper.
You know me, Mark Callis. To me, the heart punch is the greatest finishing move in professional wrestling history. Okay, so you knowing the skyscrapers, is a banging plus for you, and you get an Avenger theme song played in the back the next 2 minutes for that. Okay, because that was dope that you said that. But I see the point. I just say give it a chance, right? So then. I also liked the fact that they fixed their mistake
right, and calling them the Viking experience to the Viking Raiders. And people still complain. And then fans also complain about Robert Roode. With the mustache.
What's
Huh?
Yeah, what did Roode do? What happened with Robert Roode?
It kind of came out in a sense of a little bit of a Ravishing Rick Roode kind of persona. But here's my problem with wrestling fans.
I always thought that, though. Kind of like.
I've always thought that first, right? And then.
Yeah.
I know for a fact. Everything we're watching in movies and TV, it copies itself. So every gimmick has been used before. And if wrestling fans continue to act as if the only things you can like are new things, then you're never going to like pro wrestling. Because there's nothing in wrestling or pro wrestling that you're going to like that's all 100% original. Now, I understand the basis of pro wrestling. And I understand that crowd. I belong with that crowd. I understand who you are. But I also watch the WWE, and I know that it's not pro wrestling. It's wrestling entertainment. And they told us that years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to us to let go and see what they're doing. And they're out there to entertain you. So don't tell me about, they're losing viewership. People don't watch TV every Monday no more like they used to. That's the biggest misnomer in wrestling that annoys me. Oh, they're losing ratings every week. No one cares about ratings. You watch wrestling all kind of ways. You was going to say something, Wally?
No, I had a question for you, Mike. Yeah, I had a question for you, actually. I see that AJ Styles is fighting Seth Rollins for the title. Did they really build that up? And how did that happen?
Well, they had what they always do in wrestling. The new champ is there. The new year is there. Here come everybody who thinks they have a shot. Well, everybody who has a shot, here go a match. You win your matches, you win this match, you get the shot, and that's what happened.
Gotcha. that's how it happened.
Right. That right there is lazy WWE booking, the fan would say.
Man,
not me, because I'm used to it.
Yeah.
I'm used to that, so whatever. Get on with the show, right? But fans don't want that.
Yeah.
Fans want somebody to emerge, and you push that person to emerge to the top, right? Attack or shake his hand face to face. You kind of like Kevin Owens did on SmackDown, if you will, right? Kevin Owens pretended he was going to be part of New Day. We all
that
saw
worked.
It coming,
that worked.
And then it worked,
we
and it happened,
coming.
And it, yeah. right, and there it is. So
now
they didn't do that on Raw, right?
Yeah, because now that's like it. Because Kevin Owens versus Kofi is now like something that could have a couple pay per views, you know, down the road. I just want to know because you would want to build AJ Styles, Seth Rollins for something like, you know, down the road. Something from down the road. I think it's too early. I just want to get your opinion. I thought it was too early. I thought Seth could have fought somebody else.
No, because you have a month, you have roughly 3 weeks to go before the pay per view. And wrestling and WWE's world, that's plenty enough time to work that storyline. So I'm okay with that because of that and me knowing that that's how that works. Right. Again, knowing the product, knowing what you're watching. I can't go into Endgame expecting people not to die because I thought people were going to die in Infinity War. Right. So I can't come out of Endgame going, I cannot believe. Yes, people, it's a spoiler alert. They killed Tony Stark and Thanos. Okay. If you haven't seen it, I don't care. It's been 3 days. Early. Early.
They killed him twice. Yeah, killed twice.
Well, the second time,
twice,
is he dead or is he snapped? Is he snapped away? Because we can undo a snap now. We know that. Right?
Oh, okay, sure. He's dead.
We can undo a snap. Right.
He died one time.
But I get people saying even with Infinity Wars, there's a lot of holes in the story. But guess what? I watch wrestling. I'm used to having holes in the story. I let it go.
Well,
it's entertainment.
Are you not
entertained? Are you not entertained? That's the question.
Yeah, man. Can you give me a nice little box of popcorn?
Oh, there it is.
Go.
I haven't had that in a while.
You know what I'm saying? I'm good to go.
Bam. There it is. It's been a while. You know, we don't do this stuff like we used to. You know what I'm saying? In the beginning, I still got millions of stuff in here. Is that not why you are here? Do you not go to the movies to be entertained? Do you not watch wrestling to be entertained? Do you not watch the NBA playoffs to be entertained? Are you not disappointed when you watch the NBA playoffs sometimes? Yes, you are. Do you still watch it?
Yes,
you do.
Yes, you do. I'm with you on that.
Only with wrestling do people get mad and vow to never watch it again. You know what? I went through a part of myself where I said, you know what? I'm going to stop complaining to fans. I even said it openly on air one time, right, doing around the blocks of Mike Knox. I said, I'm going to stop picking on – I can't. I realized that somebody has to – I have to be the voice for the voiceless, right? And that's not mine. That's Nietzsche's, okay, which was Paul Heyman. But I have to be the voice for the voices because there's people like myself that enjoy wrestling and understand what it is, what it is. It's not for me. It's for a younger crowd, but still enjoy what they give you without complaining and torching it so much. Right? And that's the fan I'm speaking up for, because that fan is not the fan that's on social media. That's the fan that's on social media that has like 37 followers, maybe 220 followers. And I'm not making fun of them having them in a follower. I'm just saying they're not loud because they don't care to be loud. Right? So it's my job to be loud for them. All right? And so every time I think something is, and I've been accused, you've heard it all. I've had friends of mine, people call me brother, tell me I kissed Vince McMahon's ass. Well, I think once I call him Vincent KKK McMahon, I probably will never get a job with the WWE. And if I still do, it's okay. It's an entertainment. And guess what? He would understand that because he's done it all to entertain, right? So it's what you do, right? And I'm just being honest. It's not all bad. And I hate when something's complained about and everybody complains. I'm telling you, same thing with Endgame. I wish I could snap my fingers to everyone who thinks Endgame is not a good movie. Because that person is the ultimate troller. That person, I promise you, don't have that many friends. I promise you that that person who did not like Infinity Wars is insecure. I promise you that that person that did not like Endgame, I mean, not Infinity War, but Endgame, I can keep going on and on and on for like a mile a minute because I get in like a car and drive, and if the record is a smash, I would still survive, okay? Know your hip-hop history, okay? Special Ed. Best and worst of the weekend.
My best of the weekend has to be – first, there's a couple of them. Obviously the NFL draft. I enjoyed the draft. And also – the Avengers. Avengers, it was a great movie. So I enjoy, those are the best of the weekend. I don't have a worst of the weekend, though.
You know what? I have a few. The best of the weekend.
It didn't come for a year.
the best of the weekend was Endgame. The best of the weekend was the Giants not drafting Haskins. Okay. The best of the weekend was Cobra Kai season two, people. Okay. Cobra Kai season two. Oh, brother, I'm done already. I'm done watching it already, okay?
Oh, I gotta watch that joint. Oh,
yes.
I ain't know what's started on.
Yes.
I came back on already.
Yes. Can't start on the
24th,
all right?
Oh,
also,
it's a wrap.
Best and worst of the weekend, it goes out to my son Christian in the middle of Avengers and Endgame on the part where Cap says, Avengers, assemble. He screams out, magnificent! Magnificent! I love my kids. I love my family, man. Listen, worst of the weekend, I'm like you. Maybe the Sixers getting blown out. That wasn't pretty cool, right? And my car breaking down. But other than that, I'm good. My wife is healthy. My family is healthy. We're here. We're listening to radio. Make sure you follow us on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM, wherever social media is sold, which is absolutely free. Make sure you follow Urban Sports Scene, just how it sounds, just how it's spelt, on Twitter as well. Make sure you follow me, yours truly, Mike Knox, with three X's, because you already know why I'm hardcore. And frankly, people, it's just that way. Wally, I had a good show with you, man.
Same here, my man. Same here.
Wrestling tonight, playoffs tonight. Listen, guys, do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love me some me and don't love God. We out of here, y'all. Bangers.
the Soulless Voice, hosted by Mike Knox. It's barbershop talk, still we think outside the box. We take it to the hoop, y'all be trying to find your shot. Sports talk with